I began a series of messages that focused on order in our relationship with Christ. The first week we looked at building our life on the foundation of Christ, which is a solid foundation that's unshakable. Amen? We looked at how we build our lives for that which is eternal rather than that which is temporary. And so that was our focus that first Sunday we began the series. The second week we looked at how we follow Christ as the leader of our life by listening to Him through His Word. We looked at how God's Word teaches us, it rebukes us at times, it corrects us, and it trains us in righteousness. And we talked about the importance of reading and studying, meditating on, memorizing, declaring God's Word, and discussing it with God and others. And finally, we talked about establishing a time and a place where we meet with God through His Word. These are aspects of establishing order in our relationship with Christ. Would you agree? Without these things, we just flow through life and there really is no sense of direction. It's more of kind of an aimless existence. But how many know God didn't create us to have an aimless existence, right? But He has purpose for our lives. The third week, we looked at strongholds. That week, I had a message all ready to go, and the Holy Spirit decided He had a better message, or at least another one, because that one came the week later. But I threw out my notes, and we had a word of testimony about how God was dealing with a person's life and tearing down strongholds. And at the same time, we had a prophetic word that was about strongholds too. And it was comical for me because I'm up here and the word was tested with Jason and it was written out on the back of our bulletin and someone had given it to me. And so I'm up here and Kyle's up here and he's sharing his testimony about what God's speaking to him through a book that he's reading. And then Cheryl Huntley had given a word, and I'm up here, and he's sharing his testimony about strongholds and how the Lord was really working at breaking, you know, those and what that was and so on. I'm up here reading her sheet, and it was about the Lord asking, seeking, and knocking about breaking strongholds. And honestly, I hate to admit it, how unspiritual I was that Sunday. I honestly was going, did these two talk to one another before the beginning of the service? Well, they confirmed afterwards, no, they had not. So it was we definitely received a word of the Lord, amen? And during that message, it allowed us to see the true importance and power of God's Word. Here we're talking about God's Word the week before, and we really got to see a reality of how God's Word breaks and demolishes strongholds in our minds, right? Now, strongholds, I kind of define that as fortresses or walls of thought that are built in our minds, systems of thinking, mindsets that we carry around, that the Bible tells us to demolish and tear down. And so we saw how through God's Word we can do this in Jesus' name in order to overcome disorder in our lives that results from strongholds. So that was week three. Week four, we looked at how the Holy Spirit is our second source of communication that God has provided us. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us into all truth, right? We looked at the different ways the Holy Spirit does this, through His Word, through visions, dreams, through other people, through something we read, through prophetic words, and so on. And we emphasize that the Holy Spirit, when we receive direction or a word from the Holy Spirit, He will never contradict the written Word of God. And so we were able to see how you bring both the Word of God and the Spirit of God together to be led by God so that there is order, health, and growth in our lives. Then week four, the Holy Spirit's onto something because He decided to break in again. And so the message that I had planned, we set aside that Sunday, and we actually began to focus on how not only is it important that we break strongholds in our own individual lives, but I had been praying about, we'd been talking about with our Sunday evening prayer meeting group that was there, about how since God brought a word about strongholds to the corporate body that two Sundays prior, I'd been wrestling with that, because I know that when God brings a word corporately, then it needs to have a corporate application. And I honestly was wrestling with what that would look like. What stronghold corporately could be present? Why was God wanting to show us that? What was he trying to tell us? What is he trying to help us understand? And I wrestled with that, and I'd had a conversation with Jason. Jason was woke up in the middle of the night, and the Spirit of God was working with him with some of the same thing. And as we looked at that, we began to get a sense that we needed to demolish the stronghold corporately that would seek to keep us from acting upon the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can be timid sometimes, can't we? We can just kind of hold back. Well, is God really speaking to me? Am I worthy to hear from God? You know, the enemy wants to come in and smack us around with all these things, because he certainly doesn't want the Holy Ghost to have freedom and start breaking out and doing exciting things, right? Even though we do. But yet, guess what? The Holy Spirit chooses to do that through you and me. And so we began looking at the need to break that stronghold, and I specifically applied it that Sunday morning in the use of spiritual gifts. Now I'm talking about the manifestation gifts in the corporate body, right? Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discernings of spirits, healings, miracles, faith. Those are all the nine manifestation gifts of the Spirit. And how we... God gives a gift to each, I mean, he imparts, each one has received, as the Spirit wills, he'll impart these gifts in the body to build the body up, amen? And well, if each one, if it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, do you realize that if you've been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, that means at some point the Holy Spirit is imparting on you, at his will, a gift of the Spirit for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. If that's happening, don't you think we ought to see that happening? But we have to be willing to surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit, or it's not going to happen, right? The Lord is not going to grab you and force you to do anything. He wants you to follow. He wants you to submit to what the Spirit of God's leading. Now, do we need to learn how to do that? Is there a process related to that? Sure. But nonetheless, it needs to happen. Well, what the Lord's begun to show me is that wasn't the only application that he wanted me to bring to the body. But for me, sometimes I got to have this little season of seeking the Lord before I seem to really get it. And what's interesting to me is this morning, you know, I had prepared this message. The Lord woke me up. I was already awake just before 4:30 this morning. So I get up and I'm in the shower and he starts giving me the download right there. And so I'm going, okay. So now I go back to the computer and now I've got a part the message and impart this that he's beginning to stir into my heart. And this is what I believe, as I've been praying and meditating on it, the Holy Spirit is showing me that as I've been meditating upon the idea of a corporate stronghold or strongholds, if you will, ways of thinking, right? I've known for some time that strongholds affect the way we think, speak, and act. Would you agree? And I've been seeking the Lord at just how it is we as a church actually think and speak and act corporately. You know, it becomes a culture, right? It's the culture can be defined as the way we do things. And so I've been saying, Lord, what is it? What is it that we, how do we think? How do we speak? How do we act? And what I believe the Holy Spirit has shown me is this, whether we know it or not, and I don't think it's just representative of our own local church. I think the Spirit of God may be speaking a word to the church today related to this. And whether we know it or not, our thinking as a church is significantly impacted by the environment or culture in which we live. Would you agree with that? Would you honestly be willing to say that the way you think is impacted by the culture that we live in? I mean, that's in any culture, is it not? Well, because of all the different false messages we hear in the media today and from what many in our culture are believing and emphasizing, this constant barrage of falsehood does have an impact on the way we think and speak and act. Whether we know it or not, that is happening, even in the church, even in our church. Consequently, we are all affected by the schemes the enemy has sown within our culture that have become cultural strongholds. And even though many Christians are seeking to resist the lies of the enemy and hold firm to God's word, the arguments and pretensions that are being perpetuated in our culture do have an impact on our thinking. The truth is, these lies that our culture is accepting and believing today and even living by does cause a certain amount of concern and even fear to exist within us as followers of Christ. Would you agree with that? Are you concerned about what we're seeing in the culture today? Does that cause you to be a little fearful at times because what that's going to mean to the church and our families and so on and so forth? Now, again, thank God, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But nonetheless, the enemy is sowing that scheme of fear against us because of what we're seeing unfolding before our very eyes. Amen? And how many would say that because of the lies that the enemy has perpetuated in this culture, that many even in the church have compromised and given in to their own fleshly desires based upon their own reasoning? You know, we rationalize and justify away God's word sometimes when our flesh wants to do what it wants to do when it wants to do it. Amen? So we've got that issue going on. And then it can affect us because we can begin to justify doing things that we feel will benefit us, even though they are contrary to God's word. Has that slipped into the church? If we're willing, have we allowed that even to slip into our lives, therefore our church? And then finally, because of many of these lies are now being widely accepted and believed in our culture, we feel the pressure, do we not, to remain silent about the truth? Because we don't want to be accused of being unloving or being hateful or being bigoted, which we fear will lead to us being vilified or even persecuted. That's happening in the church. And I'm going to be honest with you, because it's spread wide in our culture, it's happening in this church. It's happening in every church, folks. So what the Spirit of God has begun to really put in my heart is that these strongholds are culturally based. How many of you would agree that these kinds of circumstances do impact us and lead us to certain kinds of strongholds being formed in our minds because of the cultural environment we live in? Would you agree with that? Now, none of us want that. None of us want to deviate from the Word of God. We know we're supposed to be faithful to the Word of God. We know that. But we're still faced with these pressures. And we have to be honest about that. And what happens is because these mindsets come in so subtly and gradually, and we don't even realize that our minds are being impacted, we bring these mindsets into the church and we don't even recognize how they're impacting us corporately. How many think we still need to recognize and demolish those strongholds? Amen? And so the way that we go about doing that on a corporate level is we have to come together and we have to hear the Word of God, what the Word of God says about these corporate mindsets that we carry in from our culture. And as we hear the Word of God taught and preached, then as a body, we need to receive that Word, we need to believe that Word, and we need to act upon that Word. And we need to resist the lies of the enemy without compromise. Now, we have to be careful in this. Because we can begin, because we're so much knowing that we need to resist the enemy, we must always remember that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our battle is spiritual. And if we don't keep our eyes fixed on where the battle lies, that it's because it's the lies of the enemy, it's the strongholds, it's the ways of thinking, then what we begin to do is we begin to get harsh and Pharisaistic and mean-spirited. And we start condemning those people who are believing the wrong things and we're believing the right things. And we take our fight and we begin to fight against them, not against the mindsets, the lies of the enemy. Now, don't get me wrong. If they try to bring it to my house, I'm going to set up a boundary, right? And we as a church, what Kathy's talking about, potentially we could be faced, are you prepared? I'm kind of nervous about it. You talk about the fear thing, but am I prepared to go to jail because I won't marry a man and a man or a woman in this house? Amen. You understand what I'm saying? But these are cultural mindsets. So if you bring it to my house, which they're trying to do, how many know there's been some bakeries shut down and some flower shops that have been shut down because of this? It's coming. It's coming, people. And when it comes, no, we need to take a stand. However, when it comes to addressing people and we start moving in their direction with the truth, we cannot come as a hammer. We've got to come in the love, in the goodness, in the mercy of Jesus Christ, speaking the truth in love. Because I'm going to tell you, these strongholds that are in our culture have been developed because people have felt rejected, they have felt mistreated, they are insecure. There's all kinds of reasons why people are giving into ways of thinking today. They don't even realize it. And they're doing what they think is the right way and the best way to make sure that they're accepted, that they're loved. And they're trying to force a certain immoral lifestyle onto the church today because they believe in their mind that's what means they've been accepted. See, so church, when you don't accept people, even when they're in sinful behavior, and you treat them unkindly, and you're harsh with how you say to them, and you act with disgust toward them, you only reinforce the very issue that they're dealing with, and then they're going to fight that harder, not lesser, because you're not acting in love. You are acting in unkindness and hate. Let's call a spade a spade. And I'm not a gambler, but you understand what I'm saying? Right? Let's be real about this. You've got to come in love. Jesus didn't come for the healthy, but for the sick. Did he not? But I'm still going to tell you, when they come to us and they start telling us what we have to believe, we still have to act in love, but we cannot compromise. And that's the strongholds that we've got to tear down that tell us we've got to compromise. Or because we're fearful, we won't stand for the truth in love. I hope you're seeing this tension that I'm talking about in this war. There is a tension between standing for the truth but doing it in love. It's not an easy rope to walk, is it? But we must. We must. Because guess what? We're the ones that are called to be salt and light in the world today. So we must, as uncomfortable as sometimes it may be, walk this line. Well, these are the kind of strongholds, I believe, that the Lord is wanting us to demolish in the church. And I'm going to tell you this, many in the church do not know how to speak to these issues today. They don't know how to address them. So what do? We backpedal. We don't stand for the truth. We don't talk about it. Because even if we try to do it in love, they come and accuse you of being mean and hateful and etc. And I don't want that, so what do? I backpedal. And the church is being silenced today in many circles. Right? And so we need to break these strongholds. Well, I'm here to tell you, in the next weeks, I'm about to address busting down some strongholds that are related to our culture, okay? Well, that was week 5. Week 6, we looked at the process for diagnosing disorder in our lives. We talked about how diagnosing disorder most often happens in the midst of trials and tribulations, right? And although God is not the one who brings trials into our lives, He does use them to reveal or expose what's in our heart. And the way the Holy Spirit shows us what's in our heart is by bringing to our attention the kinds of words we speak and the actions we take when we're in the midst of trials. Right? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we looked at the kind of ways, the difficulties we can go through that reveal disorder in our lives. And we looked at the example of Adam and Eve, and we focused on how disorder comes through deception. How many think that's related to a stronghold? And then through deception, that leads to dissatisfaction of something, of God or what He's provided, and distrust. And that was the process that happened with Adam and Eve when the enemy deceived them, right? And then their dissatisfaction and distrust led to disobedience, which then led to disorder, and then ultimately led to death. And so by looking at how God dealt with Adam and Eve after they disobeyed Him, we looked at how diagnosing disorder involves answering 3 important questions. Number 1, where are you? Am I in a place that is the result of focusing on God, or am I in a place that has resulted from focusing on my own concerns and needs? Am I looking here, or am I looking here? At myself or at God? Am I in a place where I'm trusting and resting in God's goodness, love, and provision, or am I in a place where I'm hiding, avoiding, pretending, ignoring, neglecting, resisting, or even rebelling against God because of doubt or fear or woundedness or selfishness or anger or even bitterness and unforgiveness? Where am I? Number two, the Lord asked them a couple of more questions related to what is the source of information that you have based your reasoning upon other than God, right? Who told you you were naked? Is our source of information the enemy, the world, another person, or our own fleshly desires? And then the third question is, have I acted upon this other source of information in ways that have disobeyed God, His authority, His will, or His word? Again, the Lord asked them the question, did you eat of the fruit of the tree which I commanded you not to eat from? Right? So, did you do what I told you not to do based on this other source of information? And is that why you're where you are today? Okay, so those questions. And once we've considered those questions from the Holy Spirit, we will then need to evaluate how we have responded. Did we take responsibility for our disobedient actions, or did we blame God or someone else for the disorder in our life? And the final step in diagnosing disorder in our lives is looking at the condition of our life and the condition of our relationship with God and our relationships in our family and our relationships with others, as well as the condition of our circumstances, and then answering these questions. Does what I am experiencing in these different areas reveal order and health, or does it reveal dis-ease, dysfunction, disunity, division, and or destruction? That was week 6. And then last week was week 7 in our series. It was Easter Sunday, and we looked at how the power of Christ's resurrection that exists on the inside of every believer in Christ is available to overcome death, the world, the devil, and disease and infirmity. Who would agree all of these things are disorder of some manner? And the way we overcome them is, number one, by having a vision for our life that is eternal and God-centered rather than one that is temporary and self-centered. Would you agree? And then through our salvation in Christ, we overcome the world, the devil, death, these things, by the blood of the Lamb. That is our salvation provision, right? With the word of our testimony, how many know what comes out of your mouth needs to line up with the word of God? And so when our testimony lines up with the word of God, there's going to be some overcoming going on. All right? And that we will not shrink back even unto death in our obedience to the word of God. We will lay our lives down for the glory of God and even for the sake of other people. That's how we overcome in Christ through His resurrection power. All right, now, why did I just walk us back through 7 weeks of messages, summarizing them? Anybody asking that question? Like, we already heard this, Pastor. Well, I have a reason, believe it or not. I actually have a couple reasons. Number one is because I would like each of you to take a moment and evaluate how you're doing at applying these truths in your life. Are you being a doer of the word, or just a hearer of the word. Only you and the Holy Spirit can evaluate that. But I would like you to. So I would like you to reflect on this by answering to yourself a couple of questions. How have you been doing in applying these truths in your life so that you are moving in the direction of order in your life and away from disorder? Or has it just been a nice Sunday and come and give my courtesy bow to the Lord and do my church thing, and that's about as far as it goes? Now, I know I'm cutting real thick right now, but isn't that where it really matters? Number two, where do you still need to act upon what you've heard so that order, health, and growth is occurring in your life rather than dis-ease, dysfunction, disunity, division, and or destruction? The second reason I provided this summary is because the truths we have focused on regarding our relationship with Christ are foundational to where we are headed in the next several weeks and even throughout the rest of this year. That's why I summarize them, because I wanted to bring a reminder to us today, because what we've received these first 7 weeks now has laid a foundation that we're going to build on as we move forward. How many know if your foundation isn't solid, and that the very first message we talked about, building our house on the rock, not on sand, right? So we need to make sure this foundation that I just summarized is solid and in place, because if it's not, then what you build from there is going to eventually crumble. And so, this morning we will begin taking the foundational principles that we focused on and over the last 7 weeks and apply them to bringing order in the family. We began with focusing on our walk with Christ. That is foundational to everything else. And you need to take that foundation into how you build your family. And so, how many of you think that order in the family must flow out of order in your relationship with Christ? Would you agree that order in our families must flow out of knowing God's Word and listening to the Holy Spirit? That was one of those messages, right? Would you agree that order within our families will require demolishing strongholds in our own minds, as well as demolishing the cultural strongholds of the world that seek to creep in to our families and even to our church? Would you agree that if we are experiencing disorder in our families, then it will be necessary to diagnose that disorder in our own lives as well as in our families? By asking the questions, where am I and where is my family? Or who or what are the sources of information I and we are basing our reasoning upon other than God? And have I and or we acted upon these other sources of information in the ways that have disobeyed God's authority, will, or word, or not? Did I and or we, meaning our family, take responsibility for our actions, or did I and we blame God or someone else for the disorder in our life or family? And lastly, does what I and or we are experiencing reveal order and health in our family, or dis-ease, dysfunction, disunity, division, and or destruction? They all apply to the family, right? And when people attempt to build a family separate from these principles, it doesn't take long to see why many Americans and even many Christian families are in trouble today, does it? How much dis-ease, dysfunction, disunity, division and or destruction are we witnessing in the family today? It's an epidemic, folks. But before we can successfully diagnose disorder in the family, how many think it's important that we first know what true order looks like in the family? Right? Unless you know what a healthy family looks like that's living in order, there's no way to evaluate if our family is functioning in order or out of order. It's kind of like how money is, how someone who is an expert in recognizing counterfeit money, some of us might think, well, the way they do that is they've got to learn all these different kinds of counterfeited bills to figure it out. But that's actually the opposite. They actually become an expert in what the real thing looks like, so that when there's any kind of a deviation from it, they can recognize it as counterfeit. So if we're going to find out what family's supposed to look like, we need to see the real thing. We need to see God's design for the family. Amen? All right? Now, help me, Lord. That design is pretty clear. It's in God's Word. Right? And I will tell you what we're going to focus on, I'm gonna at least give you a scripture, because I don't preach a message without the Word. You know, I hope you know that all of the messages I've preached, you've heard the biblical principles that are there. Okay, so you know I'm not just a wing it preacher to just come up and bring topics all around. I'm not that, you know, if it doesn't have the Word associated with it, then I'm not doing my job. But what I want to share with you this morning is we need to find out, first of all, what God's design for marriage looks like. What order looks like for the family. Okay? Now, and to start out this week, I'm not going to begin looking at issues like, whose job is it to take out the garbage? Or mow the lawn? Or whose job it is to do the dishes or clean the bathroom? Or whose parents we go to on Christmas Day? Or whose turn it is to change the diaper? Right? Ladies, I'm just going to be honest with you. Some guys, you'll be cleaning up two messes if he does it. I'm just saying. That doesn't mean we get out of it, but God help us, right? But nonetheless, these aren't the kinds of... Now, can those bring disorder in a family? Okay. But we need to start on a much higher plane than just those kinds of issues. We need to know what God has designed. What is the role of the family? Why did God create the family? How did God create the family? What are the roles that He established for the family, and what commands did He give in relationship to how the family is supposed to function in those roles? That's what we need to understand, and I'm going to tell you today, that's where there is a great number of strongholds that have come into this culture, that have deviated from the truth of God's Word. Okay? So, this morning, I don't have time to teach on it. So, I'm going to give you the principles. I'm going to give you the scriptures. I'm going to give you the basic principles, and we'll come back to this next week. Okay? Because I really need to divide this whole thing. You don't want to drive by shooting on this one, right? We need to lay the groundwork. We need to lay the foundation. But we get God's principles. I'll tell you what. I would ask all of us to do this week. If you would be willing to do this, read over and meditate on these passages in the next week in preparation for next Sunday. Okay, Genesis 1:26-28. Then Genesis 2, 15 through 25. And then finally, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. Same again. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then Genesis 2, 15 through 25. And then Ephesians chapter 5, 21 through verses 23. These passages establish the foundation for the family as God has designed it. And I will tell you, He made them male and female. He called them and commanded them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over all creation. These are basic principles, right? He gave the wife as the helpmate to the husband. He called the husband to be the head, to lead. Not to dominate, but to lead. And he called the husband to lay his life down for the sake of his wife, as Christ died for the church. He calls the wife as the helpmate to submit to her husband. Now listen, you need to understand the difference between the word submission and the word obedience. Submission is your attitude. Obedience is your action. If your husband tells you, ladies, to do something that disobeys God's word, you are not called to obey that. But you are still called to have a submissive attitude toward Him. This is with any form of authority and leadership. Okay? And then finally, God's purpose for marriage, and therefore the family, is that He created them male and female in His own image. Therefore, we are image bearers called to reflect who God is, what He's like, and how He does things. His character, qualities, and ways. Amen? That's why God gave the marriage. That's why God gave the family in the earth. And I'm telling you, God's image is getting confused in our culture today. And the church is the only one who can stand and keep it such that that image, that reflection is not distorted. And I'm telling you, there is a war going on in our culture to distort the image of God by what they're doing with marriage. So I'm asking you today, will you stand for God's design for marriage? Okay? Now, I'm going to begin next week. We're going to go through these passages, and I'm going to divide those principles out a little more thoroughly. Lord be willing, because He does break in now and then. And then we're going to look at, I'm telling you, I'm coming to break some strongholds down that the enemy is trying to confuse the church with. Folks, listen. As of recent, I got a guy that I graduated, I won't mention his name, but I got a guy that I graduated from high school that called me just a couple of weeks ago because he was in a conversation with someone who's emphasizing this whole equal rights thing. And the emphasis that's being there, that they've made it into a civil liberties thing, not the fact that it's defaulting from God's standard. So they've taken it, and I'll get into all this. But I'm just telling you, he's like, am I right? Because I know that's what the Bible says, but he was questioning himself. How many in the church today are questioning? Because the enemy has come in and said, did God really say? Right? And then how many people are getting dissatisfied and distrusting God because they don't believe what he did say? Which is leading to disobedience, which, folks, listen, it's leading to disorder. And ultimately, if we keep going as a country, it's going to bring forms of destruction. Listen, because the world doesn't understand things from an eternal spiritual plane, they can't get that. They'll listen, here's part of the stronghold. They'll say, what does it matter to you? How does it possibly affect you? Because I love this person of the same sex. How could that possibly impact you? It has nothing to do with you. This is my decision. This is my liberty. Leave it alone. Well, guess what? If we were just natural people, that might be the truth. But we have a God in heaven who says in Romans chapter 1 that he will give people over to that kind of sin, which ultimately God has to judge. And when a culture, the church isn't effectively being salt and light anymore, and that mindset continues to snowball and it becomes the mass of the culture, guess what? God has to be involved in the situation. God, let God be true, every man a liar. God has to stay true to himself. And so we walk out from underneath the protection of our God by obeying him. And guess what? The judgment of God will come upon a nation. Now, I mean the discipline, but Hebrews 12 talks about that there's three forms of God's discipline, right? The rebuke, don't go there. Then secondly, hardships. And then thirdly, if that doesn't get our attention, chastening. Which means, guess what? People are going to suffer even in the physical dimension. Guess where we're headed? Guess the road we're on as a nation? That's why the church has to get involved. That's why the church has to stand. Because we're called to be the conscience, whether the culture understands it or not. Because the Bible says that the man who does not have the Spirit of God cannot understand the things of God because they are foolishness to them. Right? So folks, listen, we can't compromise. We've got to love. We've got to do it the right way. And many of the church that are trying to take a stand aren't doing it the right way. We're actually creating our own problems because we're reinforcing what they already believe we are. So you've got to be willing to lay your life down. Isn't that what Jesus did? God loved the world. He demonstrated his love toward us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While they're still in a lifestyle that you may not like or may not agree with, are you still willing to lay your life down for their sake and not condemn them, but seek to bring them to a place where they can see the love and the truth of God? According to his word. That's what I'm asking you to do. That's what I'm asking us to do as a church. And folks, I'm going to tell you, get ready. In the day we live in, it may cost us something. It may very well cost us something. But I'm going to promise you this. If you will do it the right way, speaking the truth in love, when you stand before the true eternal judge, which is the one you want to be really concerned about anyway, you will hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen? Let's stand together for the truth and do it in love. If you want to stand, stand. That's all right with me. Come on. All right? Let's pray.